In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. Yesterday we had a workshop in the village hall with a number of children exploring ideas about Christmas. And so the mobile that you can see hanging below me in the pulpit is one of the fruits of our labours. So the children have written their names on each star and put on words that they associated with Christmas. Not words like presents, but words like hope and love, those kind of words. So that's what's hanging below me, in case you were wondering. Do have a look at that after the service. So during the recent snowy weather, I saw on the BBC News that there was a truck driver up north somewhere who came to a T-junction, and he was intending to turn right down the long leg of the T. But the route was downhill and it was very icy. So at the very last minute, he changed his mind and he swerved back left. He skidded, and then his truck was left on the wrong side of the road across the top of the T-junction, stranded on snow and ice, and with a significant lean to the right downhill. So the truck driver was in a very precarious position. He couldn't go forwards or backwards, and he couldn't follow the route that he intended to. So, on being interviewed by the BBC news reporter, he was asked, what are you going to do? And he said, I'm going to go off and find a cup of tea, which is what he did, to work out what he was going to do and where his help was going to come from. So that situation struck me as rather a good illustration of our Bible readings today and the story of the prophets. So the snowy, icy countryside that we saw around our country in recent days was, for a while, inhospitable wilderness for many people. And in the Bible, wilderness is a place where humanity is not at home. It's not a place where we want to stay or where we want to belong. The long trek that Moses led the people of Egypt, from Egypt through the wilderness to the promised land, was a journey towards a new destination, towards home. The wilderness was not a place in which to belong, but it was a place where humanity made mistakes and had to learn lessons. But God never gave up on his people and continued to lead them. So the wilderness was a place of temptation and failure, but of a faithful God. And the physical wilderness can, in our imaginations, be a barren desert, or it could be the freezing Arctic, or just a place of sheer emptiness. And the wilderness, in that sense, therefore, is a symbol, in spiritual terms, of being lost, being separated from God by a sense of maybe sometimes of our own failure and sin, or maybe sometimes by the circumstances of life. It's not a place we want to remain in, but it is a place that sometimes we find ourselves to be in. So, like the truck driver, what do we do with that experience of wilderness? And in being in the wilderness, I suggest, is an opportunity to pause. It's an opportunity to find the right direction, the direction that God's calling us to, and an opportunity to find the people needed to help us to be led home to where we will have a sense that we belong. So maybe all of us can think of a wilderness time in our own lives. There are circumstances that might cause us to feel like that, difficulties with our faith, difficulties with relationships, illness, bereavement. All these things can lead us feeling in the wilderness, and that question, where is God? Where is my new place of belonging, and how am I going to get there? So the lorry driver in our story that I told you about found in his sense of wilderness that before doing anything, the most necessary thing to do was just to pause and go and find a nice warming cup of tea rather than panicking and wondering what to do next. So the prophet Isaiah lived in far-off Babylon at a time when God's people were in slavery and exile. In the years between 587 and 538 BC, the people of Israel were separated from their sense of home. They had no sense of belonging in Babylon, and the prophet Isaiah echoed the sentiments of the psalmist. How can we sing the Lord's song in this strange land. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and we wept. And between Babylon and Jerusalem, there was a vast wilderness, mile upon mile of nothingness, inhospitable desert. Nobody could be expected on their own strength to break free and make that journey home. So for many, there were, as they remained in Babylon, in exile and slavery, there were just memories and dreams and an aching heart. And in that place of exile in Babylon, the prophet Isaiah was a bit like our lorry driver stuck in the snow, unsure of what to do and where to look for help. And he receives words from the Lord. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Comfort sounds like a cozy sort of word, doesn't it? It's the kind of image maybe of putting your arm around somebody and giving them a hug. But I saw an image one time, I can't remember where I saw it, and it was an image of the people of Israel sitting on the ground, feeling sorry for themselves, and the Lord God is prodding them with a long stick. And underneath the text was written, the Lord God comforts his people. So it rather amused me. Being prodded with a long stick isn't our necessary image of comfort. Comfort, we might think, is more about tea and chocolate cake. But actually, comfort in that sense is about inspiration and vigour and new life. Comfort's about being given hope. It's not about wallowing in self-pity. Comfort is about God's promise that you might be in the wilderness now. That might be how it feels, but I am with you. And I'm not going to leave you in the wilderness, but I'm going to bring you home to a new place. A different place, but it will be a new place where you will be at home with the Lord. So the Lord comforts his people Israel while they are in far-off exile in Babylon. And the prophet receives these words, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. So all the supposed barriers, all the obstacles that the people feared would separate their God and their sense of home forever, will be overcome. Spiritual barriers of wilderness will not separate them from God forever, and neither will physical barriers of wilderness. And so the prophet is guided by God to say that the Lord God himself will come with might. He'll feed his flock like a shepherd. He'll gather the lambs in his arms and carry them, and gently lead them like a mother sheep. So the prophet is saying that those who are lost and weary from long years of exile will be sought, will be found, and will be gathered together into the arms of a loving God. Do not lose heart. Do not be crushed, but live expectantly. Look for God's presence among you. There's hope, there's life, because you're God's, and he will not abandon you. That is the message that the prophet gives to the people. Well, at this time of year, the Church of England has to submit statistics for mission. And that means that I have to go through the register and write down all the numbers attending worship each week and send them in to the head office so that we can report on how well or how badly we're doing. And the last 2 years have shown signs of recovery nationwide from the bad years of the pandemic. But numbers are not as high as they were 20, 40, 50, 100 years ago. And so for a long time, commentators have been speaking about the church being in a place of wilderness. Society has changed all around us. The world is not as it used to be. And the church in our country, many would suggest, is looking for a new sense of belonging, a new place in a changing world. You can't live in the past, not quite sure what the future looks like. So there is that sense of wilderness, but in the wilderness we pray for the presence of God to be with us, to comfort us, to inspire us, to fill us with new life and new hope. And of course the other point about wilderness is that you don't kind of move through it instantly. It took the people of Israel 40 years, a whole generation, a lifetime, to make the journey through the wilderness. So patience is required. One of the messages of Advent is to wait for the comfort of the Lord. But comfort is to believe in a God whose mercy is to lead us always into new life, risen life. Not backwards, not forwards, not leaving us in a sense of death and decay and despair, but always risen life, new life. hopeful life, purposeful life, the kind of words that the children have written on the mobile below me. So John the Baptist stood in the wilderness and he echoed the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. I was thinking about our lorry driver. If he bumped into John the Baptist when he went off looking for a cup of tea, he wouldn't have been impressed by the offer of locusts and wild honey, would he? But what John the Baptist was doing was he was calling people to stop and to think. And he called people while he stood in the wilderness, and he called them to come and join him. And he called them to repentance. So what he was asking them to do was to come and stand for a moment in the wilderness and pause and wait and listen. And repentance then means to take a new direction. A lorry driver stuck in the snow needed help to think through his options and to work out which new direction he was going to take. And I suggest repentance is like that. It takes a bit of time to pause, to ask oneself, well, where am I now? Where's God leading me to? And that takes a bit of time. It takes time to work that out. Patience and trust in God. It's like saying to God, I'm a bit stuck because of the choices I've made. I'm a bit stuck because of the things that maybe people have done to me. I need some help to find the right direction, a direction that will bring me home to you. And that's what John the Baptist called people to do in the wilderness. A collective sense of wilderness and spiritual malaise troubled the people at John's time. So his message of repentance was to take a new direction, turn again to the Lord, and baptism became the symbol by which people declared their readiness to receive their Lord as they waited for him to come. So the season of Advent plays out that drama. It's a penitential season in which we acknowledge our need for repentance, for a new direction, for comfort. It's a moment to recognize whatever our own sense of wilderness might be. And sometimes the busyness and the pressures of Christmas crowd in so that we lose the stillness that the Advent season offers. But we need that moment to pause. We need that moment to reflect. We need that moment to be still in God. And then when we stop being busy, when we stop being rushed and panicked, and we confess our sins in acknowledgement to God of who we are and where we are at our lives at this moment, both individually and as a church, then we begin to hear God's voice and he comes afresh among us. When we turn to the Lord, he does not reject us, he doesn't cast us off, doesn't wag a disapproving finger at us. But instead, he promises to come to us and lead us like a shepherd leads his sheep. Don't actually know what happened to our lorry driver stuck in the snow, but I imagine that because he was blocking three roads all at the same time, the police didn't leave him there for very long. In the case of the Israelites in exile in Babylon, they were eventually set free and returned and began the restoration of Jerusalem. John the Baptist proclaimed the coming of the Lord Jesus and was met by Christ Jesus, who in his own baptism claimed as his own flock, sheep of his own fold, all those who were waiting for him. So our Advent prayer is come. Come, Lord Jesus, to us. Come to us in whatever sense of wilderness we might be feeling. Come as a light to our darkness. Come as our comforter. Come as our good shepherd to lead us home, and to give us that new sense of belonging and purpose in the Lord our God.